I think, what would have saved Enterprise? If they had trimmed it slightly, but let Reed keep the goatee.
Oh, I hated it. It was so
Well, it
fake.
was too
It was
shrubby.
real fake
But, like,
looking.
I feel like if they let him grow a real one, it maybe would have
He
worked.
probably can't. He's an Englishman. He can't grow a real one.
Wow.
Can
I
he can grow a massive handlebar mustache,
Ugh, gross.
though. So, interestingly, in old Doctor Who, there was this recurring character, the Brigadier,
Oh, yeah.
who,
Well.
Nicholas Courtney, who could grow a mustache, but he felt it wasn't strong enough. So he actually wore a fake mustache
How can
as.
anyone believe my upper lip is stiff with a mustache like this?
So what's funny is when they did their, like, the Doctor winds up in the Mirror Universe episode, opposite of many Mirror Universes, by which I mean Star Trek, the Brigadier didn't have a mustache. They took the facial hair off to prove he was evil.
And give him an eye patch, didn't they? No, Joe had
Maybe.
an eye patch?
No,
Somebody had an eye
I
patch.
think it maybe was a Brigadier.
Didn't Joe also have it? No, Mel, not Joe. I always mix them up. Didn't Mel have an eye patch?
Mel was much later. Mel was the sixth Doctor.
Smell.
Not Mel then.
Silence!
Is it gonna be one of your the same voices we've heard 15 times?
Of course.
Well, at least he's
Of
honest.
course, there, little lassie. We're going western this week.
Okay, good.
Oh
That's
boy.
fine.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw! Welcome to a star to survive. Star to steer by. That's what I meant to say.
And
Yeehaw!
how many head of steer is that?
That's gonna be.
Hey, you got it. Thank you.
We're on.
Oh, I didn't.
I
What
don't
number is
fucking
this?
know.
346.
Blue horn number 346.
That's a lot of blue
Whoa!
horn.
A lot of blue
I mean,
horn.
yeehaw.
Yeah. And we're gonna rustle us up a couple episodes of Star Trek The Enterprise with Captain Jonathan Archer and the friends. But before that, I'll introduce myself. I'm your sheriff, Jake.
Perfect for radio thumbs like hooked into your
Non-existent overalls.
overalls, sheriff.
I say.
Oh no.
Who else do we have here?
The man with no name, except I have a name. Chris.
It's Deputy Ames. Fuck, I was gonna be the deputy.
You can be the I thought okay, I can be the school marm.
No, it's too late.
You're the school marm.
Wow,
Skag
your children are
Caitlin.
fucked. This is Skag Caitlin, that's right. Not the first time I've been called a skag. Not true.
Anyway, today we're fixing to bring to you a couple episodes of Enterprise. We're going to talk about Twilight. That's the time right before it gets dark. On the plains, we would rustle us up a bowl of beans and a can, throw them over the fire, and we'd eat them.
Set them on fire.
That Twilight.
Ain't
And
Twilight
then.
that movie about them sparkling vampires?
Well, Missy,
Cap'n.
Captain.
they sure
Sheriff.
are. They didn't have beans in that movie, as far as I know. But we have beans out west. And you know what else we have out west? Stars. Stars to steer her by. In fact, one in particular, the North Star,
To steer her by.
made famous by its ability to steer things by it. And
Sure.
that also happens to be the next episode of Star Trek Enterprise that we'll talk about. But first, Twilight. Let me talk to get my colleague over here to use his voice to talk about this episode because because my voice is getting a little raspy here. Would you mind talking about Twilight? Why, sure.
Oh
I don't
no.
know why I also have
Why
a
did this
voice.
happen?
I don't know. It just did. But in fact, actually, I'm just gonna have this guy do it. Would you mind? Yeah.
Well,
Okay. I got it covered. All right. Twilight. Here we go.
I didn't realize that because of Disney losing copyright that we'd have Steamboat Willie right here on the podcast.
Very crowded at this table
It
today.
sure is. We have so many guest stars. But anyway, in Twilight, this is episode 8 of season 3. It aired on November the 5th, Guy Fawkes Day,
Meow.
2003. Trying to think of what I would have been doing on Guy Fawkes Day 2003. I have no memory of the day. It was directed by our old friend Robbie McNeil.
I noticed that.
Tom
Robbie.
Paris himself.
We like him.
But anyway, what happens? Well, we open in very exciting fashion.
Oh, yeah.
A giant...
Good teaser for a change.
The Death Star comes out of warp right at Alderaan, blows that fucker up, and Archer and everybody's just there to see it. T'Pol's wearing a Starfleet uniform looking inexplicably, great. Looking good. And then, yeah, and then the Earth gets blowed up.
Whoopsie.
But then we fast forward 12 years, I believe it was, and now we're in Archer's, looking a little old, a little weathered, get the grays a-showing.
Wow, two different reads, because I was thinking, ooh, Archer's looking good.
Well, you know, he's older, he's seasoned.
Delicious.
But he doesn't know it, because he looks in the mirror, he's like, why am I so old? And then he's wandering around this house that he's unfamiliar with, and he walks in the kitchen, and there's a hottie at the stove, and what? It's T'Pol, she's grown her hair out, and is now his live-in nurse or something, and she's like, oh, hi, Jonathan, and he's like, T'Pol, what the fuck? And she's like, well, let me explain it all to you, like I do every day.
Put on the recording, watch this.
He's gonna say, here's the film 51st Dates by Adam Sandler. See, it's kind of like that.
I was gonna go with Memento, and mm-hmm. just like he's got tattoos all over himself. But yeah, so basically what T'Pol explains to him is that 12 years prior, they were all hanging out on the Enterprise, and they got into one of those anomaly situations that they get from time to time, and it knocked T'Pol on her ass, and she got leveled under a heavy thing. But then Archer threw himself in the way of the anomaly and took the brunt of it, saving T'Pol. But in the process, acquired some sort of brain parasite that renders his long-term memory completely inoperable. So for the last 12 years, he's only had a working memory of a few hours. And, you know, as a result, he got relieved of command, and T'Pol was made the captain of Enterprise, and because she's not evidently competent, they were unable to stop the Zindi, which led to the destruction of Earth.
Nearly racist enough.
And then the Zindi proceeded, they hadn't had enough just blowing up Earth, so they went around and blew up every Earth or human-related thing, you know, just to make sure.
All those parallel Earths from TOS.
Yeah. So the Zindi have been going throughout the galaxy trying to hunt down every last human, and they have, at this time, taken refuge on SETI Alpha 5! Which is where the last remaining human settlement is, and there's only a few thousand of them left. And Archer's like, oh, my fucking lord. And she's like, well, this is a very special day because Enterprise is coming and we're going to get to see all our old friends.
Except Mayweather, who died without a line.
Yeah, Mayweather, who died barely even noticeably.
No one acknowledges it either.
They didn't even let him go, ah! Like, he dies silently.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
Did that actually happen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I missed that.
Yeah.
That's upsetting.
Isn't it?
But yeah, so they go back to Enterprise, and Archer's meeting everybody. He's like, oh, hey, Trip, how you doing? It's good to see you. You're the captain now. And oh, yeah. Reed, you're looking fine. You got that beard. And no, you're a captain, too. You're going to be the captain of some ship. Great. Oh, Hoshi's here. Nice. Good to see you. No, not even asking about Mayweather, because, you know, why would he? And but then it turns out that the reason he's here is because Phlox has been spending the last decade trying to perfect a treatment for Archer's brain. And what he's come up with is like blasting his brain with warp drive energy. And that evidently kills the parasites. So they're all set up to do this thing. They try it and it actually works, but it's going to take a few treatments. Meanwhile, Enterprise is like, there's a ship nearby that's just out of range. We should go check it out. And they get there, and it's Worf's friend from that episode where he found the Romulans, the Klingons that were in the Romulan prison.
It's a different Uridian, but okay.
Same deal. These guys are sketchy. So you find, yeah, this Uridian man who's like, I was just hanging out in this sun's corona for fun. And they're like, bitch, please, we don't buy that for a second. He's like, listen, they don't want you, they just want the Denobulan. They were, oh my god, no, he's a fucking spy for the Zindi, and now they've learned the location of the human settlement.
Whoopsie.
And and sure enough, they show up.
We've had a good run.
The Zindis, and they're like,
well, we've had a run, certainly.
Meh.
And they just start fucking shit up. There's a big battle, and, you know, throughout the battle, Archer's like, I gotta get to the bridge, and they're like, T'Pol's like, you're in no position to do this.
Also, the bridge just exploded.
And then, like, yeah, they're about to walk on the bridge, and then it literally gets blowed up, and everyone dies. So as the ship is going down with the ship, Archer and T'Pol and Phlox are like, we're going to make one last attempt to do this thing, because Phlox figured out that because when he blasted the parasites, not only did it blast them in the present, it blasted them in the past as well.
Are they wormhole aliens?
They're some kind of
aliens.
Let's
go with yes.
Those dicks.
So yeah, at any rate, these parasites transcend time. So Phlox has speculated that if he can wipe out all of the parasites, it will remove them from. It would mean that they would never have existed, and history would play out differently. And they're trying to do this, but the machine that he was using broke. And then Archer's like, "Listen, what if we just blow up the ship?" And Phlox is like, "That could work."
Don't you steal the Janeway maneuver, you prick?
Yeah. So. Yeah, so Archer, you know, the Zindi board the ship for some reason. I don't know why they just blow it up, but they boarded the ship.
That's a good point.
And, you know, they take out Phlox, of course, and they take out T'Pol, and they take out Archer, but in his last dying thing, manages to activate the self-destruct that he invented just now. And, and then, boom, everything blows up, and we reset. We're back to the moment of... after the anomaly, and he was just mildly injured. And then we have a goofy scene where he has T'Pol do a bunch of menial tasks for no reason that he could have very easily done himself.
Like, yeah. Get me a pillow.
Get me that pillow from 2 feet away.
Turn the lights down.
Give me a sandwich.
Oh.
Ouch.
I mean, that was the tone of it, let's be honest.
Well, you know, their relationship did evolve.
So, I liked this episode when it was called The Visitor / Year of Hell.
And little Yesterday's Enterprise?
Tiny bit.
Kind of a lot.
Yeah.
Kind of a lot.
Like, again...
But it's still clever. I still give them credit.
It's fine, you know, but again, it's one of those where it's like, on the Enterprise scale, it's fine, but again, it's like, we've seen this better. Also, it would have been really funny if they were like, well, wait a minute now. We don't have to go through this whole elaborate scheme since, you know, let's just explode his head!
Yes.
Well, it sounded like that was a theoretical thing. And
true.
It was only done as sort of like the, well, last-ditch effort.
Here's what I'm confused. Oh,
go ahead.
So Phlox realizes that, oh, if you remove some of the parasites, then they've always been removed and they never existed at all. How did he learn that if they've now never existed at all? Because then at the very end, when everything flips, no one has memories of this, and we go back in time none of them existed at all. Like, you kind of have to ignore that a little bit, because if it did work the way Phlox thought it would, then he wouldn't actually see results, right?
Yeah.
Phlox is an Ellorian. That's the answer.
Okay.
See, I was about to say, it's Back to the Future rules, where changes made in the past take time to get to the present.
Oh, yes, it's slowly fading out the photograph.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Chris. I mean, this felt very Visitor-like to me with the...
Hard reset?
With the hard reset, but also just the way they tell the story, where it's sort of told in flashback form, and then just without the emotional impact.
Exactly,
of the Visitor, right? Like, the Visitor is good because of the Jake and Sisko relationship, and Jake has to ultimately sacrifice himself in the end to save Sisko. Yeah, it's personal, and it's like an emotional experience viewing it, but I didn't feel shit watching this.
Well, in the Visitor, it's personal because it's those two characters and their love. With this one, it's the personal aspect of it is Earth has been destroyed, and you watch Archer kind of accept that a little bit. But it's such a huge loss that you cannot, like, fathom how big this is.
Well, yeah, it's like destroying the Earth, and then also, let's pick off every other human.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, and I'm not complaining. I think this is a fine episode.
Very well acted, too.
Well acted, yeah. The acting, even Bakula, I thought, did a really good job.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
He mostly did, but there were two moments that stuck out to me, actually.
Gasp!
When the Earth is kerploded, he less looked like, I'm horrified, and more, I've just been running for a while and am out of breath.
I mean, there's a little confusion, like, how did we get here?
Yeah, that's
it. How did we get here?
But then also when he finds out there's only like 6,500 humans left or whatever, he runs out of their little hut in a very strange... Like, I think he's supposed to be like, I'm overwhelmed with emotion, but it's more like, I can't find my balance. Aside from that, yes. But it's just funny he said that, because I remember while watching, he's like, oh, normally he's fine, but what happened here?
I mean, to be fair, if the humans would have survived instead of the Alpha 5...
Oh, yeah, they were fucked.
They were fucked. Because that sun was going nova or whatever happened. Or the SETI Alpha like something a... would be exploded. At
Yeah, SETI Alpha 6 explodes and knocks SETI Alpha 5 off its axis. Yeah, so.
This is SETI Alpha 5!
Yeah, writer Mike Sussman said he chose to make it SETI Alpha 5 as a quote-unquote cruel joke. Mm. Because, you know, audience members will know, like, oh, they're doomed no matter what.
Yeah, I did think that. You know why he was running funny? It's because Paris couldn't give him anything to, like, throw his body over in a physics-defying way. Yeah. So he was just like, if you could run out the door with the affect of a 16-year-old girl leaving the dinner table after her mom has told her no about, like, piercing her asshole or something.
That's right, because the jumping over a railing was another McNeil director.
It was.
I'm just saying, wow. he needs to go back to school and do some, like, movement learning.
Phlox did a good railing jump. This episode, when he died.
Yeah, railing kills all around this week.
Yeah. Ooh, guys, I have terrible news. I really liked Phlox in this episode.
Yeah, Phlox
was bound to happen eventually. Yeah. No, I don't think it was. Think no, he looked greasier than usual, for fuck's sake.
Everybody who was in this, who was given a line in this episode,
anyone who wasn't Mayweather.
Well. Yeah, poor that actor though.
What's his actual name?
Anthony Montgomery.
I feel like we need to say his name at the beginning of every episode of this show. Until we're done with Enterprise, because he just gets fucked left and right. And he's not in the next episode either, is he?
I don't think
Did he finally just quit?
I don't think he is, because we never really... We don't see Hoshi either, I don't think. Oh, no, we do. Hoshi reads over a transcript.
Yeah, she does.
She's like, yes, this is the Ancient West, but we'll get there.
The Ancient West.
I've said it before.
And Chris goes crazy and destroys everything.
Like
Archer.
People get time displaced in Star Trek all the time. Let Anthony Montgomery have a second shot. He can show up as a voice in Prodigy. He can show up in Strange New Worlds, whatever.
Dude, yeah, he would be great in Prodigy.
But yeah, no, it was pretty so funny that he shows up on screen for all of 2 seconds and gets blowed up.
And again, doesn't even get to go, ugh!
Well, he did, but they cut it out. They were like, nah.
We can't pay you for a line this week.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tony.
Oh, the poor guy. Poor guy.
Yeah, my one kind of complaint I would have about this episode was trying to shoehorn in the, oh, T'Pol has developed a crush on Archer.
I was going to bring up the same thing. Because it could easily be read, T'Pol has softened towards humans, T'Pol has gained this new affection towards Archer over the years as his caregiver thing. It doesn't have to be, like, underlaid with the... Oh, you have feelings for him, don't you?
Men and women can't just be friends, though. It's TV rules. Ugh. No, I agree. It's
just
dumb.
Cut those lines, and their relationship is actually very lovely.
Yeah.
Because watching, you know, T'Pol says, you know, oh yeah, I don't tell you the whole story every day, because that would fucking wreck my life. Some days I tell you the shorthand of it. Or sometimes I lie entirely, just to see what's going to happen.
I don't know why she doesn't... Yeah, exactly, yeah. Why are we here? We're just visiting. The Enterprise is in orbit. They'll be down tomorrow.
Today she doesn't feel like dealing with it, yeah.
Why do I look old?
Disguise.
I wrote on your face in the night and says makeup.
You've always looked like that, John. You just didn't notice.
Yeah, actually, kind of fascinatingly, this script was originally pitched for Voyager, and it would have been Janeway in the Archer role and Chakotay in the T'Pol role. Hmm. Which I can emphatically see working as well. Mm. Like, that would probably also be a pretty decent episode.
Builds her a new tub every day.
Yeah.
Why are there so many tubs? Well, let me tell you the story, God, Janeway.
So basically, they just decided to not take out the romantic element from that.
Probably not. Yeah, that makes sense.
Although, again, they also have occasionally hinted, like, maybe they're into it. Like, they want that to happen so bad, and I do not know why.
With the Archer T'Pol? I don't need it, and I don't want it.
Yeah, no, it's a terrible idea. Absolutely terrible.
Like, stop crushing on her. But have you seen that bum?
It's a great bum. I mean, no.
Yes, I liked her in the Starfleet uniform. That's always nice to see.
Yeah, I think, I wish they had kept that.
Put her in dignified
clothing.
I liked
it too, but it didn't fit well and it looked stupid.
They did very consciously suck in that waist as much as possible just to show off her figure. So
God
there is that.
God forbid she just get to wear a jumpsuit.
Yeah, gee, what else? We get a Soval appearance. He shows up to...
That is one thing I could have done without, is, like, actually making explicit that apparently the Vulcans did actively hold back humanity, as opposed to just, like... Like, I think it was better when it was just, like, the humans being impatient and the Vulcans being too patient and their personalities clashing.
See, I read that more as, like, Archer having rubbed off on T'Pol because...
I was thinking that, too.
No, because that's exactly Archer's complaint, is that the Vulcans held us back and prevented us from reaching our potential.
Yeah, maybe it's
fair. But, like, you know, and T'Pol would probably not agree with that now, you know, in present day, but after 12 years of listening to Archer bitch and moan, she's like, yeah.
Also, you can tell she's really rejected Vulcanness because she grew her hair out.
Yeah.
Abandoned the haircut.
Yeah, she went full human.
Speaking of the haircut, so I guess the wig that they had on older Archer was one of the wigs they'd originally made for Soval.
Huh.
Which ends up making sense when you consider, like, oh, he's got a slightly Vulcan-y hairdo because T'Pol's been doing his hair all this time.
Doing his hair. I just imagine that, like, she just bowl. Does, like, yeah, I was gonna say the 1990s bowl cut and just slaps a bowl on his head and goes, looking good, Mo. But I thought the gray suited him. I was into it.
It was fine.
Well, you know. But I didn't think anybody else had been aged at all.
Really. Oh, yeah. Trip, they just put the little gray in the temples. It's like, okay, you did something. Fine.
Well, to be fair, though, have you seen him lately? Because he basically just looks the same.
He does. He looks great.
Well, when I was trying to remember this episode, I had thought it had been a lot more time than 12 years. I thought it was, like, 40 years later.
Oh, wow.
And, like, Archer they'd have to recast.
They wouldn't do that makeup.
Yeah. But yeah, the fact that it's only 12 years means that, you know, the younger people, you know, so like Hoshi and Reed aren't going to look particularly
older.
Frozen in time, Chris. Frozen in time. But yeah, and Trip's a little older, I think.
Yeah.
But even he would not be like, you know, what, in his or early 40s, probably? I don't know how old he's supposed to be.
I have no idea, to be honest.
On the show. But I was assuming like late 20s, early 30s.
I did read that they filmed but then cut a scene with an older beagle to show that Porthos is still around.
Yeah, that's not realistic.
It might be in the future, okay? We don't know.
They cryo-froze that dog for a couple years.
Well, maybe, like, listen, if we're all living longer, maybe we find a way to make the dog food better and the dogs live longer.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Realistically, I think we take better care of our pets now than we did previously, and it's not necessarily weird to see pets living longer than they used to.
Yeah, but dogs don't live very long.
It depends on the dog and the size of the dog. Okay, a small dog like a beagle could probably live to be like 15 or something. So if Porthos was really young at the beginning of Enterprise...
Porthos was not a puppy at the beginning of Enterprise.
Okay, here's the thing. Genetic manipulation of humans is illegal, not our pets.
There you go.
Pets live for fucking ever now.
Every time we put Porthos through the transporter, it's the same age.
Yeah. What else happened? I thought the props for Phlox's brain blaster were very familiar. I think they were like, I feel like the pod itself might have been like also used as a stasis pod in other things.
Probably, yeah.
And like the thing that like clamped to Archer's head, I'm pretty sure that was used in the Manchurian Geordi episode.
Oh, maybe.
As part of his conditioning.
I'll admit I didn't pay super close attention to the props, so I didn't notice, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Let's see. Oh, there was something else I was thinking to mention. Yeah, I like the little that they've upgraded Enterprise. Now it's got shields.
Yeah, from General Shran.
Shran.
Oh, yeah, the name drop.
That was a really good little Easter egg. Like, that's how you do a little Easter egg. Lower decks, writers take. No.
Nope.
Yeah, but on the other hand, we're on SETI Alpha 5. Wink.
Yeah, that was... I didn't need it. I get why.
It wasn't really bad. No, it didn't. I'm just being.
They never said SETI Alpha 5. Remember that name.
Yeah. Like, I think because that it was explicitly chosen because it's a doomed world and it's just kind of to fuck with the audience and isn't just a reference, I thought, I'll let them have it. Like, if it was some other planet we've heard of, but not one that we know is doomed, like...
Yeah, it would mean nothing to us.
Yeah, I can't think of anything, but yeah. But the fact that it's like, it's not just an Easter egg, it's also a, they're fucked.
Yeah.
Also name drop the Mutara.
They
system.
Did. That was unnecessary.
What was that in reference to?
Someone was in the area.
Oh, okay.
The what system?
The Mutara. That's where the nebula that they activated the Genesis device, where Khan gets blowed up.
Yeah. Oh. Also in Star Trek 2. Like that was over egging the pudding.
It was.
Well, if we assume that the SETI Alpha system and the Mutara system are not too far apart, because you know Reliant was able to get there. Pretty quick.
Yeah, but it's still just like, it's like, you already got one. Calm down. Mm. Make up a new system.
Oh, and another little cut moment. Hoshi would have been bringing Archer some Vonnegut books. And then Archer would be like, I don't remember asking for these. She said, well, read them anyway. Read them 15 times because you're not going to remember. Which is a funny joke because then you get the Slaughterhouse 5 reference.
Yep. But nope. They're like, nah, we don't need to give Hoshi more lines.
No. She already got a slightly different wig. That's all she gets.
Yep. And a line or two. But yeah, the blowing up of the bridge was pretty brutal.
Oh, yeah. Because you're like, oh, they're dead. They all just got spaced.
Big dead. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No little, you know, sensors probably wouldn't allow it. But I did squint and I didn't see any little people flying out, just debris.
Oh, speaking of little Easter eggs, what did you guys think of how Archer killed one of the Zindi?
Oh, yeah.
Was that an Easter egg?
Did you notice?
I noticed.
He stabbed one of them.
Yeah,
right?
I saw that.
But he did.
Oh, right. Yes, that's right. That was interesting.
What did they stab him with?
He stabbed him with the statue of Zefram Cochrane. He's got a little statue. He's got like a little bronze statue of Zefram Cochrane in his room.
It's specifically the one that Geordi described. Like, it's a miniature of the one Geordi told Cochrane exists in that Fry's Cochrane's brain.
It breaks during the scuffle, and then Archer picks it up and...
Damn.
Cochran's the Zindi.
You got Cochran'd.
If this was a better show, I'd say, oh, it's them being symbolic about the mess that this whole season's message is. But nope, they just did that without realizing how fucking symbolic it was.
Oh, I felt bad. So, like, you know, Reed was all proud and pleased that he'd been promoted to captain. By who, first of all? By
Trip.
Trip just promotes...
Promotions all around.
Of his buddies.
And
you, Hoshi.
He was going to be the captain of the Intrepid.
Yep.
And then the Intrepid is the first ship to get destroyed during the battle.
I kind of wanted him to go, oh, damn it, it was mine.
Why is Starfleet racist against Asian Americans, man? They wouldn't promote fucking Harry Kim. They won't promote Hoshi? What the fuck?
Hmm.
Did they not promote her? They didn't actually say it. Oh.
They specifically said, like, is everyone's captain? She's like, not me, captain. I'm still here.
Well, yes, but I mean, is she at least not still an ensign?
I don't know.
She's probably a lieutenant.
They banged her back down to cadet.
God, man, they forget. T'Pol forgets to tell Archer about Mayweather. She's like, oh, how is she? Where's Mayweather? Everyone just goes quiet. T'Pol goes, ah, fuck.
Yeah, I love to Paul had a great little comment at some point where it's like, it's usually at this point in me telling you the story that you think that this is some elaborate ruse. You know, one of Mayweather's classic pranks. But let me assure you, Captain, Mayweather is dead. It does make it all the more heartbreaking knowing that she has to tell him every day. Like, Jake and I just watched a video yesterday on, do you guys know who Henry Molaison is?
No.
Famously known as just HM for years and years and years until he died, but he was a medical marvel, essentially, who in, like, 1953 was suffering, like, from really bad epilepsy, like, 10 times a day epilepsy.
Oh.
And it was just destroying his life. Like, he couldn't hold a job because he couldn't be around, he couldn't be alone.
Yeah.
And finally, a doctor in the field of brain shit.
A neurologist?
Brain shit. Effectively says, okay, if I remove all of these chunks of your brain,
oh my god,
it should help. And the guy's like, what have I got to lose? So they remove
big chunks of your brain,
sounds
like.
Exactly. They remove the hippocampus before they really understood what the hippocampus did. God. And some other bits. And
were they just throwing it at a dartboard and deciding that way? Well, is there any rhyme or reason to it?
They knew a little bit what the hippocampus
did.
Yeah, they knew that
removing parts of the hippocampus could treat epilepsy, but because this guy had like particularly severe epilepsy, the doctor's like, oh, just take the whole thing.
Oh my god. Yeah. Anyway, go on. I'm sorry.
So the consequence was he developed, they call it anterograde amnesia, which is the inability to create new memories, new long-term memories, which means every couple of hours for him is fresh. And he only remembers, like, you know, a little bit, like, before the surgery. And he lived to, like, 83 or so.
God.
He only died recently in 2008.
Wow.
And then they finally, you know, revealed to the public, like, his actual identity because, you know, he's no longer around. But just, like, the studies they did on memory with him were fucking fascinating. Because, you know, every day they come in, like, he doesn't remember anything new. But every so often he would, like, show, like, that he learned, like, muscle memory, effectively.
Hmm.
Like, the most famous example is, like, they would have him trace inside, like, a diagram of a star through a mirror. Something that's tricky to do because your brain does not necessarily, yeah, like, adjust to trying to, like, draw this thing in a mirror. And, you know, his first couple tries, like, no, you can't fucking trace this thing in a mirror. But over time, he could do it perfectly.
Wow.
Because of the practice. But he didn't, for every time for him, it was brand fucking new.
Wow.
So yeah, very fascinating man, but also very, very tragic. Because, like, you know, every so often he'd be like, oh, by the way, oh, where are my parents? Oh, they died so many years ago.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah.
Oh, where's Earth? Oh, that got blown up, Archer.
Yeah, imagine having to tell somebody that shit every single day. Oh, everything you know and everyone and everything about life that made you feel comfortable Trip's knowing it was Trip's other sisters? Trip have other sisters?
I don't know, but if they did, they got blown up.
Damn. Yeah, that's big. I mean, hearing about your parents, bad enough. Hearing about literally everybody in the fucking world, yeah, except for 6,500 of your best friends, by that's which I mean people much. You that's don't so know, much. That's huge.
Yeah, that right there is that difference between the visitor and this episode. Like, I cannot fathom learning something that large.
No, I think that would just break you. Like, I don't think you can have that over and over again, you know?
Scale is often an issue in science fiction. Whether it is narrative or literal. Like I said before, like...
Every season of Discovery.
But, like, even especially, I've always said... I mean, Star Trek is also guilty of it, but everything in Star Wars is so literally enormous.
Yeah.
That after a while, none of it feels big. You know, how many times, you know, like... That, you know, you think the first movie where it's like, there's that ship. You don't know quite how big it is, but it seems like, oh, it's probably... And then the other one, you know, hauls ass over it. And that's this great moment of like, oh. And then in the second one, it's like, oh, there's that ship that was really big at the first one. And then it's under a ship. You're like, okay.
And then it turns into Mega Maid.
Yeah, and yeah, it's just like, after a while, like, that was the last time they did scale well.
Sorry.
Love, you know, that movie.
Ames did herself a great reference.
You know what? One thing I feel like, I know we haven't gotten to yet, but like one thing Beyond does decently is like when they pull up to that space station, the Enterprise is so tiny. You're like, oh shit, a sense of scale.
Yeah.
Holy shit, you never get this. But yeah, in this case, it's narrative scale that's impossible to like wrap your mind around.
My very, very last note. So Mike Sussman, the writer, he meant to include somewhere in the script, but it got
Mayweather
or cut. No, how the Enterprise got to Earth in time to watch it explode? Because, you know, as stated earlier, like after T'Pol ramming speeds the ship,
weren't they at warp like 1.7 was their max, and they only had one to sell and shit.
Exactly, yeah. But what was cut for budget and also because it would be confusing or something, they said, was that they got home via one of those Zindi subspace vortices.
Okay, so they just found one and hijacked it.
Well, purportedly.
I call bullshit on that.
I mean, it's still confusing, like, wait, you guys are at 1.7 and now you're here watching. Okay, fine.
No, don't worry about it. It really, the average viewer of Enterprise is just waiting for the next time they get to see T'Pol's side boob, so they're not really questioning, you know, the plot. No? Am I wrong?
No, you're very right. You're very right. Like, it's stupidly, I'm a Facebook post I saw from a Jolene Blaylock appreciation group.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. Carbon Creek is the best episode. And it's just a picture of the boob through the
Jesus
sheet.
Jesus Christ.
And then shockingly, I was like, okay, what are people saying in the comments? But shockingly, it was mostly people just crediting how good that episode is. I'm like, all right. But I know.
What episode did they see?
I know what you're actually here for, but all right.
It is a good episode.
It is a good episode, but that when the image they just, choose...
Which episode is it again? I'm sorry.
That's the Vulcans first? In the 50s.
Oh.
Were you thinking of a broken bow?
Yeah, I certainly was. I was thinking of, I was like, that's not a good...
Yeah, T'Pol changes behind
the
sheet.
That's a really weird
story. Tamir.
To Grandma.
Tamir Tech.
To Grandma.
Anywho, shall we continue?
Speaking of visiting other places in disguise.
Here we go, yes.
Hide those ears, T'Pol. All
right, so in our next episode, North Star, we are find ourselves... confusingly on a Wild West planet.
Are we watching the right show, do you think?
Yeah, and there's a guy that's like a sheriff kind of dude, and we don't know what he is yet. Okay, we just know that
he's
a racist.
Yeah, we know that he hangs some other dude. And then we find out that Archer and T'Pol
and Trip
are actually on the planet disguised as cowboys. And yeehaw, they're looking around like, huh, this is so fucking weird. There's all these humans, and we verify that they're humans based on our scans. Why the hell are there humans on this rando planet, and why are they living like it's 1899?
The ancient west.
So they're trying to investigate what's going on, and they find out that the guy that was hanged was an alien. They call them Skags, which is Skagarin for short.
Skagarin for long, actually.
Yeah, I guess so. Short for Skagarin.
There it is.
TLDR, we learn that the Skagarins had abducted these humans from Earth in the 1860s, brought them to this area of space to be slave labor, but it didn't take very long before the humans rose up and... overthrew the Skagarin.
Like, shockingly. Like, six months, they said. I was like, wow, that's...
Skagarins got that's in over tenacity. Their head. But since then, the humans, they didn't wipe them out, their Skagarin captors. They let them live, but they have to live in, like, camps, and they're forbidden to learn how to read or get married or do anything. So they're basically repressed, and they've been this way for 300 years at this point.
Let's be fair. They haven't stopped them from doing anything. Apparently, they're still just fine to be, like, you know, raped or whatever, because the girl, Bethany, she's a quarter Skagarin, which means somebody's grandfather was diddling somebody's slave labor, probably.
Mm. Yeah, well, so then we join our plot where... You know, Archer has to stick his nose in.
But he was right this time.
Oh yeah,
though.
For sure. Like these are shitty people. So basically, Archer
beam Bennings into space.
Oh my god, please, 10 times.
Yeah.
Over
so
and over
we
again.
We learned that like the local sheriff, he's kind of a piece of shit, but he's not the biggest piece of shit. The biggest piece of shit is the deputy
Bennings,
who was the guy that did the hanging, and he's just like mustache twirlingly evil. Like,
yeah.
He doesn't seem to have any proper motivation to do anything. He just hates. Everything and everyone. So he's just an asshole.
And has a ton of followers, evidently.
Yeah, it has has like a whole posse of pieces
just
of shit.
Just an unending swarm of bad guys.
That we never met until the end of the show. Like, all of a sudden.
Where did they come from?
Seriously, a clown car. A clown carriage, excuse me.
It's like Edison Force.
Archer befriends Bethany, the town school teacher, who moonlights as a school teacher. For Skags, where she like sneaks off to Skagville. That's what they call it, or Skagtown, or something.
Sneaking off to Skagville—that feels like a country song waiting to happen, doesn't it?
Yeah, so she's going there to teach them how to read and write, and of course Bennings follows her and arrests her and Archer for being there, and then the sheriff's like, "Well, we're gonna send her to jail for 10 years." For reasons.
It's the minimum sentence.
Minimum sentence, 10 years. And so Archer breaks her out of jail, and as they're trying to escape, she gets shot. So what do? You beam back to the Enterprise.
In front of everybody,
which is fine, whatever.
Yeah, fuck these people.
Well, the Prime Directive's already been fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even if they're worth to be like, they're humans, it doesn't count.
Yeah, he pulls up
They've
a car.
Stagnated.
Shows her her planet
stagnated.
From space.
Ah!
Hey!
Yeah.
Right?
What happened? What did you say?
He pulls up a card and shows her planet from space.
Oh, yeah. And then they make sweet, sweet love in the captain's ready room, probably.
You bet.
Yeah. That's got to get you pussy, right? Showing people their world from above.
Oh, for sure.
Big time. Anyway, go ahead, Jake.
So he goes back down to the planet, and he's talking to the sheriff now out of character, and he's like, listen, here's the deal. We're humans. We're from Earth. We don't do this shit anymore. You got to cut the shit with the Skags. You know, it's 300 years ago. Let it go.
Are you here to rescue us? No.
Yeah, are you going to take us back to Earth? No, our ship's tiny and we're doing a thing. So
got bigger fish to fry, yeah. Bitch.
So, but you know, maybe someday we'll send another ship here. Who knows?
Maybe one day we'll return to this place and see what has grown from the seeds we planted this day.
Nope, more racism. Shit.
Son of a bitch.
So that always happens. So the sheriff, you know, he's open. He's a little more open-minded than he lets on. So he might be going along with this thing. But then right as they're about to take the shuttle back to the Enterprise, old Benning shows up with about 40 fucking guys.
100 fucking guys.
And there's a shootout at the OK Corral.
And he shot the sheriff.
Sheriff. Sheriff got shot.
Yep.
He didn't die, though.
Did he not die?
Okay, good.
No.
He's like, Benning, they're human, or some shit.
So there's a big shootout, the Makos get some action.
Yes, yeah. A ton of them, like several Makos.
Yeah, I still know none of their names.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Reed, like the old classic maneuver where T'Pol is held at gunpoint, so Reed shoots her with the phaser.
I would have loved if those were flipped.
Mm.
I would have fucking loved if those were flipped.
Yeah. But confuses the bad guy long enough that Reed can shoot him too. Archer gets shot like brutally through the shoulder, like totally destroys his rotator.
And he just shakes it off.
But then he proceeds to have a very physical fight with the bad guy.
Yeah, well, he's not a pussy.
No, but like whoever did the squib on that fucking shot, like really laid it on thick.
There's nothing left in this shoulder.
That was a gory shot.
Well, and like on top of the buckshot that's now in his arm, it probably blew his rank pits into his arm because that's right where he got shot. Yeah. So there's extra shrapnel. Like Phlox had to dig out fucking Buck and his fucking pits. You want these back or you want new ones?
I do want them back.
So anyway, we defeat the bad guy. He doesn't get killed. He just kind of gets dazed, but then I guess assume he fucks off somewhere. We never follow up with him.
I hope that the guy that helps at the bar lynches him. I think that would be divine justice.
The epilogue, you know, the Enterprise leaves, but we find out that, you know, now Bethany's the school teacher, still the school teacher, but there's now an integrated class.
And she's teaching Earth history.
She's teaching them about...
not critical race theory.
Definitely
not that. They'd be so confused if they did that.
And the sheriff has come around to it, and yeah.
It is an all-white town, so there is
that. That's something that I picked up on immediately. It's like, in this fucking allegory about racism, everyone's white.
Yeah, but they didn't want to make black slaves, probably. I would guess, if I had to guess.
I just think it was odd that it wasn't all white. Like, there could have been a black guy in the town.
I'm thinking the aliens kidnapped a more diverse group, and then the white people.
That's true.
Oh, no. Oh shit. They probably didn't even wait till they got to the planet. They probably fucking killed the black guys on the fucking ship before they even landed.
Okay, so before we talk about this, I do have to go on a mini rant.
Man, everybody, turn down your speakers now.
Because... I thought it was going to be completely dumb. It was fine.
Chris's favorite episode.
But no. I do find it philosophically upsetting. Because in the midst of this season, you dare do an episode about racism?
That's true.
It's post 9/11
season.
I was gonna say in the middle of this season, we just decided to take a break from the Zindi thing because I have no idea why we're here in the first.
Oh yeah, that's a whole different.
But that's more of a take me out of the holosuite complaint of mine, which we'll talk about in our blogtivity today.
Ooh. But yeah, like I'm just like wow. So in the midst of this, again, we've always had like John and the other humans like. With Vulcans thing. But you could read that at least. I'm like, well, you know, they're still learning. But they have undone so much learning this season. And again, just to have the audacity to do like a TOS-ass, let's save money by just raiding the Western sets and prop department and costume wardrobe.
It's literally the OK Corral set, probably.
No, those weren't complete.
Which, like, this
those
is...
Those didn't have walls.
I know, I was just kidding.
The xenophobia season, where, like, again, Archer forgets half the time that his enemies are being manipulated. Where, like, I find it interesting, I was thinking about this, too, like, yeah, all the Zindi are in on this to a varying degree. But the ones, the plan... Or at least,
all the Zindi? Well, all nope. The, we just met that ape one the other
I should
week.
Say that the council has representatives from all
okay.
the races.
Okay, that I'll accept.
But the ones who we show being the most actively angry and violent are the reptilians and the insectoids, the ones that look the least like humans, except for the dugongs. But let's be honest, you based your aquatics off of, like, gentle giants. They're not sharks. They're not some sort of other, like, they aren't big pointy teeth.
They're wise old whales.
Yeah, so you're kind of, like, more to be like, all right.
I kind of want to see them at SeaWorld.
Like, whenever there's an attack, whenever there's a boarding, it's never the ones that look almost human. It's the lizard men and the insect men. Mm-hmm. The ones that look the most different are the most knee-jerk, off-putting.
That's a very good assessment.
And in the midst of this...
They look the least like us.
Of all fucking seasons, they have the goddamned audacity to do this. It's like, fuck you. Fuck you.
Yeah,
fuck
right after
you.
Some episodes where Archer, like, tortures people and stuff.
Literally, like, actual, literal...
innocent people!
Yeah,
like,
real.
Had this been season one or two, fine. We probably would have been going, it feels a bit TOS. But, like, now. Anyway, that out of the way, we can just discuss the episode in a vacuum, if we'd like.
Where Bennings should have been.
Dude, he sucks.
Fuck that guy. I also specifically ended up hating that guy because of his hat.
Oh.
Because he reminded me so much of... Oh, the name is gone. Biddle? Biddle Coleridge. There it is. From Past Tense, who was basically a hat.
What is a past... What is this?
Yeah, I've never heard
past
of it.
Past Tense... Wow. Was the episode where Sisko and Jadzia and Bashir go back in time.
Oh,
And go to the Sanctuary Cities.
I thought... It was a TV show.
I thought it was a video game. I had no idea what we were talking about.
It wasn't the same hat.
Oh, but just the fact that...
It was a statement hat to make him look, you know, stand out from the other cowboys.
Yeah, okay, I see that.
But
yeah.
I see what you're talking about. CJ or whatever his name was. CJ? It was something like that.
I forgot that there was, like, the hat guy in that.
BC.
Yeah.
Biddle
Coleridge.
Coleridge, right. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
You just said that.
It's funny.
I'm sorry.
Well, I didn't put the letters together. Like, what?
It's funny, I looked him up because I thought he was familiar, and I guess he has had small parts in many of Quentin Tarantino's recent films, including his several westerns.
He's got that look.
I also feel like he looked enough like Reed that if you told me he was his, like, stand-in or stunt double, I maybe would have believed it. Mm. Like, there's no confusing them, but, like, if you kind of squint, you know, I could see him getting thrown over a railing during a stunt.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the hat was definitely needed, because once the hat came off, I did not even realize that was the same character.
Yeah, he looked very different without
the
hat.
He just looked like a very generic guy.
I thought you were about to say a Gen Xer.
Nope,
I was like,
my,
what?
I tried, my mouth didn't work.
Probably is, right?
Oh, true, I suppose but...
I also feel like, again, this is kind of taking it out of a vacuum, but, like, it does make sense for it to be Archer who's most offended and annoyed, but it's like, I don't know. You're in the Old West, and Trip is our pan-southerner. Shouldn't it have been him?
Why did they bring T'Pol?
True.
Why were they there in the first place?
That, yeah, that.
Because we just jump
I
in
that
and
that I can
there.
Explain.
Can you do it?
Because in a deleted scene, they actually opened the episode where they're going through space, and they stumble upon a wagon.
that's
full of manure, and they're like...
Once they start it up, it still runs?
Yeah.
The horse is still alive.
Trip. Trip knows how to power on the horse.
Oh, God, that did annoy me. How hard can it be? Probably exceptionally, Charlie.
To ride a horse?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, he did manage to ride it.
Barely. But that fucking maneuver where he swung T'Pol up with his arm, I was like, shit,
I mean, he
Trip.
Watches a lot of old movies, so he's probably picked up a thing or two.
I mean, I play Grand Theft Auto. I can't drive, I'm sure.
You're like, I can't kill a prostitute and then get away with it, I'm pretty sure.
Get away with it? No.
Again.
No. I mean, the first time was amazing, but I don't think that kind of luck could possibly hold up.
But I feel like, yeah, I get it. You're like, oh my god, these are humans. But you've got a much more... This is a send a message back to Starfleet. Put a pin in this.
Well, aren't they, like, outside of range or something?
Probably.
There's like no way that anomaly, the anomalies and shit are like letting through lots of messages.
So, okay,
right?
No
right.
message, but you still, this is like, wow, this is fucking crazy. We're gonna swing back after we've saved the world, hopefully.
Yeah, we have a priority that's well above this.
Yeah,
shit.
But somebody yeah, but should if they hadn't check swung in by, on these people.
But if they hadn't swung by, it was gonna, see, here's the thing. This is where that SETI Alpha 5 shit from the episode before kind of came in, because they're like, oh, well, we'll come back. Sorry, I just grazed Aim's leg.
That's fine.
Oh, my Lord.
Maybe we'll come back, you know, later to catch up. And T'Pol's like, no, we could have set horrible consequences into action. And if they hadn't gone back down to see what the fuck was going on, they would have got back in the Skagarns, the Saskatchewan, would have been Skagarns.
Well, yeah, I mean,
they would have been totally wiped out. And, like, they would have been like, oh, fuck. And T'Pol would have been like, see, what did I fucking say, Archer?
But, like, they shouldn't have got, like, again, it works out, but they're going down in the first place. Like, they must have swung by and be like, those look like humans. And someone should have been like, yeah, so does every fucking fifth race we meet. I guess the fact that it was the Old West, though.
Yeah.
Was those are weird. Horses.
Yeah, that is...
Well, that's something that perplexes me is, okay, so the Skagarans abducted a bunch of humans from Earth.
And their
but
horses.
They also abducted their horses, their guns, like...
Yeah.
Like, all their stuff. They just
all their stuff.
Everything in, like, a mile radius.
That's the thing. Like, I would have liked... And I get it. You save money by just using existing sets and costumes and all this. But it would have been nice to have little touches here and there that suggest, like, they've recreated the world they were used to... With what I mean, they didn't mention, oh, this is all made by indigenous material, but like maybe some of the shitty deputy guys have like aging, weird, like metal bits hanging off their clothes. Like maybe they took old armor or parts from the ships and made stuff out of it. Like
ooh.
Just little things
I
here
know.
And there.
That would have been cool.
So that it wasn't just one, the Old West.
Yeah, because
know?
We've got those Skagaran ships
yeah.
out in the middle of the desert somewhere. And they're not using any of that material.
I mean, they maybe in the early days did when they were first trying to survive after the uprising. But, like, again, just a little moment here, you know, maybe bits of weird stuff worked into the buildings. Or maybe the clothes aren't quite Old Westy, like something's a little off. Like,
I mean, the thing that bothered me, I think, the most was all of the guns. Because that's, like,
yeah.
precision manufacturing.
Yeah, yeah.
Did they also, like... take a gunsmith with a lathe and all the other equipment you need.
Right, because the Skagarans aren't going to be like, hey, we're going to take you to be our slaves, but here are your weapons, just
yeah,
in case you need
like,
them later.
Like,
that's how they rose up so easily.
Just the... Idiots.
They really
what
just,
did you expect?
They really just give us our guns back? Yeah.
I always okay. told you boys there this day would come. This is big government coming to take our lives away. We got to fight back.
Yeah, they're used to like phase weapons. They have no idea like these things are actually useful.
Yeah, really, they probably think they're fucking toys. Actually, like, yeah, but fuck the Skagarans, huh? That's not really cool that they decided to do slavery.
Yeah, that ain't great. That
but
ain't
it's
great.
Extremely cool that we didn't learn anything from our slavery times at all. No. Actually, that's because they were taken. It was slavery time.
Yeah, 1860,
the fucking irony, huh?
I don't know. I found it, like, to be way too similar to the 37s, which
yeah.
was the same fucking abduction
Well, except,
plot.
Yeah, except at least in the 37s.
What was the 37s?
That was
the Amelia Earhart
That's
episode.
The one with the pickup.
Is that Voyager?
Yeah.
Why did they take them in the 37s? Was it the same thing?
I think they, no, I think, I don't know. I don't know if we learn the aliens' motivation.
Yeah, that's
the
thing. Like, at least
the
here there's a sensible motivation.
Yeah.
You want slave labor. It's evil, but I get it.
And you went really, really far out of your way to find some.
Yeah.
Outside the Delphic Expanse.
You went way out of your way to pick the wrong fucking people, apparently.
Well, they tried with Andorians, and that also ended poorly.
I mean, this is basically the plot of Stargate.
Tell me more.
I mean, that's like the whole idea with Stargate is that the Gauld, or the Goulds, or the Gua'uld, however you want to say it,
However many syllables you think it has
went,
is
like,
correct.
Like the reason why every time the SG-1 team goes through the Stargate to another new planet, they meet humans,
and
they're either like ancient Egyptians or they're ancient Greeks or Norse people, Vikings. I'm sure they meet Old West people at some point, and it's all because the Gauld were farming Earth for slave labor. And also for hosts for their parasite selves, but
and also you know they learned how to build pyramids from the Egyptians.
Probably more like the other way around.
Yeah, well, that's a Futurama line.
Oh. Yeah, the Goa'uld were using the pyramids are actually landing pads for their pyramid
ships. Oh, I've heard about this, actually. Yeah. Wait, is that for real in the show? Or?
That's in SG-1, yeah. But it's all kind of based on conspiracy theory bullshit. Like, it's sort of a play on that.
Yeah, it's probably about the Anunnaki.
Mm. Nanaki?
Anunnaki.
No, I know. I just want to say Nanaki.
But yeah, so the idea of, like, aliens coming to Earth and making a way off with humans mm-hmm. for slaves is... tale as old as time.
Mm. And we learn all the exposition for this scene through a lesson we're teaching to the children. Mm. Oh, which of you children wants to tell our new friend Archer what happened? And I'm like, okay, I see that this is how you're delivering exposition, but how dare you involve these children?
Mm. Yeah, it might be all the Skagarin whiskey I had, but I actually thought this week's episodes were okay.
Yeah, I didn't,
Even this episode I thought was okay.
I just thought it was very superficial, shallow.
And it's shit we've seen before, yeah, it's too. Shit we've seen nothing new, major rehash.
I just wish that Bennings had more...
comeuppance?
Well, no, just like if there was more of an indication of...
Oh, motivation?
Motivation for him. Like, he just seems to be violent.
I don't know, racists don't usually have motivation racist.
But he doesn't even seem... Like, other than that first scene where he's in the bar with the kid, and it's just he's just harassing the kid to be an asshole.
Jake, when someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't necessarily need a guy to be... I don't even try to justify why he's a racist. Again, we're getting enough of that this season with Archer.
This season, we're getting enough of that here today in our real fucking lives.
But yes, I just wanted to make fun of Archer. Like, yeah, just saying someone's an asshole because they hate people based on their species is... That's enough. That works.
Fair enough.
I mean, it would make more actually maybe the... I don't know. They could have made him more interesting while keeping him just evil, see Kai Winn.
See, I don't trust the writers to give him a good reason. Because the reason would be like, oh, a Skagarin once crossed me. It's like, the laziest backstory you can give somebody.
Yeah, I mean, it's sufficient to say, like, he grew up in this society, and boy, does he love it.
A Skagarin called me chicken once. Nobody calls me chicken.
Bring me chicken.
Mm. Delicious.
It also never really... came up or was remotely important that Bethany was part Skagarin.
No.
Yeah, not at all.
Right.
It was a lazy...
She been a good person.
Yeah, no, it was a lazy reason to give her motivation beyond, like you said, just maybe realizing, like, not needing a reason to go, like, hey, this is bad just because.
Did she know? Did we ever even get an indication that she knows her origin?
No, we actually do not.
Because far as we know, she is just doing it because she's a good person.
Yeah, true, true.
That's fucking wild. How do we not get any follow-up on that whatsoever? Did they run out of time, Ames? Did they cut a scene? Were we supposed to see some shit?
Not that I saw,
cut a lengthy scene with Mayweather.
The answer is because the writer hacks.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I did read. Okay, here is the writing tidbit that I did read, and that was that Brandon Braga challenged the writer of this episode, David A. Goodman,
to a duel.
To do a parallel Earth story, like, you know, all those old TOS episodes that we love so much.
The Son of God!
And he did, and the original plan was to set it in medieval times.
Oh, boy.
Until Braga said, hey, how about you do the Old West?
I didn't want to challenge you that much.
Would medieval times have tickled any of your fancy?
Only if it was actually at, like, medieval manor and no. No.
No, oh my god. I'm torn because it would have been so dumb. Because you know they would have...
There'd be a joust.
Definitely
be a joust.
That'd be good. They would have put T'Pol in, like, one of those, like, not proper medieval outfits, but one of those, like, Kira and Dax on the holodeck, like, 1950s ones with the big cone hats.
Oh, it would have been adorable.
See, here's the thing. They should not have brought T'Pol down to begin with.
No, not at all.
Because when Archer first says, like, oh, people low profile, don't say anything weird. stop showing off your ears, T'Pol. Yeah,
why did we bring
you?
A space alien with us?
Also,
space alien.
How bad is Trip at lying? Where's your horse? Died right outside. First thought I had before he said anything. He's like,
dead.
Died a few miles outside of town.
I know. And then T'Pol, like, agonizingly, it died of heat stroke.
Well, surely that was meant... Yeah! That must have been meant to be some kind of, like, homage to, like, my ears got caught in a rice picker or something, right? Maybe. Like, did that have to be... I mean,
almost certainly, but it's still terrible.
Yeah, yeah, again, it's not good.
Vulcans can lie. I mean, we've known this, but here's more proof.
Oh, shit, you're right.
They prefer lying.
They love lying.
Mm-hmm. I have very little else on this episode.
Cool. Because well, let's move on then.
Yeah.
Because Matt.
You don't have to hang with it.
Nope.
That's true.
It happened.
We've done a succinct and good thing here.
I am not.
The Rossi clock would be happy with us at this point.
I find it philosophically hypocritical.
I just found it.
That's the thing. I have a lot
very
of.
Very bland.
I have a lot of feelings about this, but especially just the idea of like. I can't. I'm not good at putting things into words. You guys know that. But, like...
Can you do an interpretive dance? That would be terrible on a podcast.
No, that's okay. But, yes, I could. But, like... I don't know. I can't. Never mind. Cut all of this. Because I just... Like, oh,
my interpretive dance joke.
But there's something about, like, the slavery and, like, the not seeing the... There's something there, and I just can't, like, make myself formulate, like, a good thought about it.
The
like,
slavery in terms of also the fact that Archer is still a massive racist, even though he claims to these people, like... We did away with racism years ago.
Yeah, that is just not, but not even just that. It's like, they're like still mad even, okay, that's what it is. It's like it's the white guy being like, it was a long time ago. Yeah, but we have a long memory. And it's sort of like, if I thought they were smart enough, I would think that this was like them trying to deal with like, you know, the call for like reparations for like African Americans whose families were dragged to this country. Or something, like, I feel like there's something there, but if it is, I don't think it's intentional, and I also don't think that I'm, like, intelligent enough to make it make sense.
See, the point of this episode was horses. Let's play dress up and play with horses.
Yeah, yeah, it was like, we need a...
Can we form an episode around that? Challenge accepted.
We want a break from our theoretically heavy arc. Let's do a TOS episode.
You know what else is cool? Rom.
Yeah.
Good segue, Jake. So here we are in our normal Blogtivity Spotlight, which you're definitely following over on the Tumblr, because that's also where you get to see all the pictures and snark. And this week is Rom week.
Moogie.
Oh, boy. Moogie. Oh, boy, Rom is a tough character, because when he's good, he's good. And when he's bad, I want to fucking hit him. As much as Quark often does.
I'll start us off.
Do it,
you son of a bitch.
Good things that Rom has done. He forms a union.
Mm-hmm.
He's a champion of labor.
Yep.
Which is gonna really suck as the Negus, but.
oh no.
But yes, he is a champion of labor. Good for him. When the Cardassian is the Dominion, I guess, has taken over the station, he joins the resistance and almost gets himself killed, trying to sabotage the deflector dish.
What episode this was.
Oh, it was whatever the one when they try to retake the station from the Cardassians.
Oh boy, I'm gonna have to look this up because I don't remember what episode this is, Jake.
Yeah, I think it's the same
there
one.
There are so many.
Which episode?
The one where Rom is trying to shut down the ship's deflector, but because Odo is banging the changeling, he forgets to turn off the security alarm, and then Rom gets caught and almost executed.
Yeah, dude, that is... And somehow, it's not on this list of Rom's most crucial Deep Space Nine moments. That I didn't prepare or anything. Mm.
Just Googling Rom
behind the lines, I think.
Mm. Sounds right.
Googling Rom shuts down deflector just got me a bunch of stuff about emulators.
That's funny. And then my last moment that I want to mention is basically standing up to Quark, particularly when Nog wanted to join Starfleet.
Hell yeah.
And Quark was trying to sabotage him, and Rom's like, you fucking asshole, fuck off. Let my son be.
I believe what it says is, when it comes to the bar, you may be in charge, but when it comes to my son, I make the decisions.
There you go.
I'm going to go next, because Jake already said two of mine.
Nog should make his decisions.
Damn it. He's a minor. He doesn't get to make his own decisions yet.
So, yes, standing up to his brother in facets, unionizing the bar and bar association.
Yep.
And the one original loan I had was that time Jake and Nog become roommates and their friendship starts to fall apart, and he schemes with Sisko to get them back together.
Well, that is a good Rom moment.
That's in the Ascend.
Yes, it is.
I guess that means I'm going next.
You are.
Obviously, number one for me is always going to be how much he, like, loves Nog and how much he wants him to have a better life and how much he stands up to Quark, because we see him up to that point being kind of Quark's little bitch all the time. And it isn't just that, too. It's, like, it's just overall, okay? Like, he stands up to Quark. He gets him that cadet uniform.
Oh, that
He's
was
so
very
proud.
Cute.
Yeah. They have the, like, selling of his, like, possessions or whatever to go and, you know, become, you know, whatever at the Federation, the becoming a man thing where you have to sell off your shit, your deals. And apparently, as I'm watching, you know, rewatching the series for my fourth time or whatever, when Quark and Nog have to, or when Quark and Rom are like roommates briefly because the Negus has taken over Quark's quarters, we find out that Rom has been stealing Nog's favorite beverages from Quark's bar. So, great father.
Wow, that
best
is interesting.
Father. Yeah, he's like, oh, is that bubble and squeak juice or some shit?
Bubble and squeak!
It's something bubble juice. It's some kind of bubble juice or other. But yeah, I know bubble and squeak is some English food.
It's
like mashed potatoes or something?
I think it's a slang for just like, yeah, no, actually,
bubble
I don't know.
And squeak. Bangers and mash in it. Oh, hey, governor, spotted dick.
Yeah.
Pip, pip. Anyway, so yeah, being the best father. Him and Ben Sisko, like, honestly, two of the best fathers ever. Two of the best single fathers raising their boys with love and showing them love and telling them they love them. It's just mwah. So I love it. The big theme with Rom is standing up to Quark, because there's also that scene when Rom standing up for Moogie, basically, when Quark's like, oh, Mom's making money and embarrassing us. Why, if Father was still alive? And Rom is like, you fucking dumb bitch. Dad was terrible at doing business, just like you. And I was here for a decade after you left, and I got to see the whole thing. So fuck you. Awesome. Love you, Rom. And when I say Nog and Quark. Oh, yeah, and the Union. Fuck yeah, the Union.
Yeah.
Honorable mention to marrying Chase Masterson, because dem titties. What's her name? Neela? What's her real name?
Leela?
Leela.
Lita. Right. Leela's Futurama.
Very cool. I got a couple spares for you guys, because I think any moment when he's standing up for Nog is at the top.
Yep.
The starting the Union and Bar Association is near the top. Here's some spares that are pretty good. He came up with the whole, cloaked reproducing minefield idea in Call to Arms.
I think that makes him a war criminal.
We love our war criminals on Deep Space
this
Nine.
This is true.
That's true. That's also, one of the best characters.
It's proof that he's not a good businessman, but he's actually very intelligent. He's a good engineer.
He's exactly, a really good engineer.
His engineering skills somehow outranks O'Brien sometimes.
On occasion.
Fascinating. I also thought it was a really good scene when Moogie has been kidnapped by the Dominion, and they're trying to stage how they're going to rescue her. And Rom is the one who says, we're treating this like a covert operation, but we're Ferengi and we're bad at this. We should be treating this like a deal. And so they go and make effectively a business deal transaction to give them Kivan for Moogie, and that is a perfect Ferengi tactic. Especially when you know you can't fight for shit.
That's the thing. Like, Lek the Eliminator. So we know there are Ferengi assassins. But yeah, they're probably not subtle about it.
They're probably absolutely terrible at it.
He's still alive and free.
And the last good moment I'm going to give Rom is going to be... Oh boy. Okay, in profit motive, when the Negus has turned good, and puts Rom in front of the Ferengi Benevolence Society or something like that, it turns out that Rom...
Was embezzling.
Starts
money.
Embezzling from the Negus, and I give him a lot of credit for that. Good for him. Yes. Well done.
Dear.
Because also,
dear.
Fuck the Negus. What a dick.
All right. Bad. Bad Rom.
Oh.
I'm going to say, although this is not really his fault, it kind of is because it's kind of a bad Ferengi move, but getting swindled by his first wife.
Ooh.
Well, we know he's bad at that aspect of Ferenginess.
He made a terrible deal and got saddled with Nog. And, But, I mean, it worked out in the end. And she seemed like a miserable person, so...
Or just her father was a miserable person.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I guess, it was a deal with her father, not with her. She might have been a victim. So, yeah, getting swindled by his first wife's father, we'll say. Let's say when he tried to kill Quark... By putting him in the airlock.
Mm.
That's a bad moment? That was going to be on my good moments list.
Oh, no.
Well, we just did the good, and you didn't do it.
Well, that's because that was a better one.
I don't know. It's just, it's out of character for later Rom, I feel like.
True.
That's true. But like, he totally changes.
Yeah, like the writers hadn't settled on him yet. And at that point, I'm trying to remember what, is that in the Negus?
It was in the Negus.
When Quark becomes the Negus?
Yep, and Rom was trying to get him killed off.
Yeah. And then I'm going to say threatening to out Pel.
Yeah.
When he threatens that he's going to reveal Pell's identity.
Yeah, that was just fucking bitter on his part.
Yeah. And like, you know, Quark bribes him not to do it, but still.
He succeeded in outing Pel to Quark.
Well, yeah, he did out Pel to Quark. That's true. But
Pel outed herself to Quark because
Pel outed herself to the Negus.
Oh, because what? No, because isn't there the scene where they're sharing a bedroom?
Uh huh.
And like,
no, Quark still thinks Pel's
just
that.
Yeah, Quark just thinks that it's.
Have we already talked about Quark?
Yes.
Did any of us mention him rejecting Pel like a fucking dumb bitch?
I think he did.
Oh, good. I hope so because fuck me, Quark, you stupid bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, so at that point, he thought it was just a gay thing, which he was, like, not cool with, but also not, like, this isn't an emergency. It wasn't until he found out that Pel was a woman that he's like, oh my god, this is the worst.
Yeah, yeah. I wish she was gay. What? Yeah. I mean...
This would have been so much easier.
What did I have? So, you know, he worked with Sisko to get Nog and Jake to rekindle their friendship. Several years after trying to tell Nog he couldn't be friends with a human.
Right.
That's bad. Similarly bad, pulling Nog out of school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the Negus. And this one inevitably, getting that nurse in 1940 fucking whatever to give him a Ferengi hand job.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In front of his son, no less.
He stole the idea from his son. Nog was having him doing it first.
Oh, my God.
And then he was like, oh, my ear kind of hurts, nurse.
That's horrible. Like, it's bad enough. But, like, ew.
I don't know. Ask Speaker Jim Jordan. He and his son share pornography or whatever. Haven't you heard about this? Never mind. This was
oh, no. This was some sort of, like, they had each other's tracker or something.
Yeah, but I mean,
If
were you jerking it earlier? Because I see a porno ping here.
If old Mikey boy looks at porno, it sends a notice.
It lets his son know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But
dad's jerking it.
It's like
right
they're doing it in the same room. But yeah. Either way, Umox is always bad.
Well, thanks. Speaking of, I've got more Umox moments to make fun of on my bad list. Oh, it's Caitlin's turn. Caitlin, tell us some more bad Umox moments.
Is like Caitlin doesn't have any moments.
I have to out these Umox moments.
So many.
Yeah, no,
so
Umox
many
moments. Okay, so the time he sang for Vic and was terrible.
Okay.
That time he tried to play baseball and was terrible.
Yep.
And the Umox thing from the 1940s. That was very much my worst thing. Because what the fuck, Rom?
Yeah, fuck all of that.
I just like, it's like, and it sucks because like, what is that, third or fourth season? Like, it feels like with the Ferengi, it's always like two steps forward and then one step back until the seventh season when they just decide that Quark's actually a scumbag again and like make him be a real big fucking disaster mess.
It's why I'm like I'm just always so perplexed by the choices they made with the Rom character because he swings wildly like he does in baseball from extremes. Like, he's a brilliant engineer, but he's played all the time to be stupid. And then that's the joke. The joke is always just Rom is stupid. And sometimes the jokes are funny. Like, Rom couldn't find a glass of water if you put him in a lake. It's a funny joke. But it's also, like, incredibly insensitive because the joke is simply Rom is stupid and that's funny, right? It's always funny to have a stupid character. It's why we laugh at Ralph Wiggum. It's why we laugh at Joey on Friends when they do something stupid. It's and they just kind of end up flanderizing each other into just being nothing but stupid. And I don't understand why they did this with Rom, and it bothers the fuck out of me.
Well, they subverted it though with Rom, right? Because he turned out to be extremely smart.
Yeah, I'm not stupid. I just lack confidence, and yet so frequently, like, it's just the dumb jokes.
Yeah,
are always so dumb. The dumb voice is such a choice.
Yeah, well, that's kind of a hangover, just the fact that, like, initially the character was just dumb, and by then that just had been how he sounded, and then you're kind of just like, oh, what do we do?
Yeah, now we've done this shit.
But yeah, I think you could read it again, it could have been handled better. But, like, he's been being told he's dumb for so much of his life that even when he begins to realize he's better, he's going to self-sabotage on occasion.
That's fine. Yeah, and that's fine. But I think, like, just how dumb they made him sound and look and say stuff. Like, they do this a little, and it always... It's a very fine line in Always Sunny with just how stupid Charlie is. Mm. And sometimes they just made him, like, more stupid than he should be for someone who can survive in the world, which is fascinating a little bit, but also, like, Charlie Day is so charming that I allow it. But Rom is not charming. And here's some more ways Rom is not fucking charming. more Umox moments. I have two more Umox moments.
Two Umox.
Because every Umox moment is going on my list. He gave himself an ear infection from too much Umox in Bar Association.
Oh, God, that's right.
Which is just disgusting to think about. And afterwards, in I think possibly even the same scene, he says, well, he asks Lita to give him Umox. And I just find it fucking disgusting. Every time it's gross. Every time I just hate it and have to put it on my lists.
Well, and it's before they're an item, right?
It's before they're an item,
but it's, you know, still a fucking piece of fine print in her contract, probably.
Yeah, not that she answers to him, though.
I know.
But seriously, it's just, like, bleh. Even if they were, it's in public, so even if they were together, it's just, you do that behind closed doors when you're a couple, but they're not even a couple yet.
Right, yeah. Like, this is just something that it's normal for Ferengi society, and the writers just have to keep squeezing it into episodes because they think it's a joke.
Yeah.
They think fucking sexual assault is a joke, and I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of him and Lita, he has another terrible moment with Lita in Ferengi Love Songs when they're engaged, and he makes her sign a waiver of property.
I forgot all about that. When he goes full Ferengi, like, I'm going to be the man, and you're not going to keep working, and burp, 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 fuck you, Rom.
Yeah, but
doesn't he, I mean, yes, that is shitty.
It is shitty.
But he does...
By the end, he stops.
He stops.
He learns by the end, oh, you're a Bajoran, and I don't have to make you do this.
Doesn't he give all of his money to charity so that...
Yeah, and that's a good moment, but it came out of I'm going to be a normal Ferengi and do the normal Ferengi thing, which is incredibly sexist, because, you know, to me, it's okay.
Faux shiz.
It's why also later in another episode, the one where they get married, I think, and they're looking through wedding dresses, and the one that he wants her to wear is literally two handkerchiefs and a loincloth.
Mm.
And she says, Rom, I will not be naked for your wedding. He says, oh, well, you still have the loincloth. Fuck this fucking character.
It's more than a Bajoran. Not Bajoran. Fuck.
Bezoid.
Damn it. Yeah, would have had.
Yeah, but they do it by choice.
No, I know.
They do it by choice.
No, I know.
Unless the Beta Zed was marrying Odo, because they were Betazoid? Was marrying Odo, because they were both dressed in that, weren't they? In big...
Well, that was a Tavnian wedding.
In big, terrible surgeon's gowns.
Yeah, well, it was like a different culture of wedding they were doing, too.
Oh, God, I love that. I just love that. I did mention that in Odo's episode, right? Because I just... That is... Not to take away from Rom being shit, but boy, wasn't Odo great in that episode? Dear God. I feel like there's more to Rom, more about Rom being shit, too, and I just thought of, like, an honorable mention, and now I can't... Oh, no, I did remember.
Yeah.
My honorable mention is, it taking him so fucking long to ask Lita out after she kept pressing her tits into his face.
I know, she's like, ad nauseam, right?
All the time.
Like, hey, Rom, I'm gonna go to my house later and try on lingerie. Do you want to help? And he was like, Mookie.
And, like, runs away. Like, I don't know. I'm not saying the man's got mommy issues, but he might have.
Yeah, I mean, some of the relationships we get in Deep Space Nine, I mean, I get maybe it's that they're trying to make them, like, fully formed people, but Sisko is terrible to Cassidy. Rom is terrible to Lita. Like, yeah, later on, Lita, he just really decides, okay, we got married. Now you're leaving the station because I decided it for you and I'm staying. And she's like, why didn't I get a fucking saying this? God damn it. And Miles and Keiko are terrible too. Well, all of them.
They're better.
But at least they had the sense to send Keiko away so that we could just have Miles and Julian playing house all the time.
They were still better in DS9 than in TNG.
Not much.
When they were just a sitcom.
Yeah, again, though, Keiko wasn't there. So, like, at least you had to see them together less. Also, Keiko, like, not knowing that he actually does like coffee in the afternoon.
Well, he changed his habits. It happens.
Listen, I bet he didn't. I bet he's always liked coffee in the afternoon, and that fucking bitch just didn't bother to notice.
Keep that in your back pocket when we get to our Keiko
Actually,
day.
We're having a Keiko day?
We're having a Keiko day.
We didn't give Esri Dax her own day, but we're doing Keiko?
Yes.
She's in less episodes than...
She's not.
By season four or something, she's a guest star. She's only on like twice a season.
You're so flustered. You almost went into your Glick impression. It'll be in a few episodes.
Wait.
I haven't seen much Keiko this season. Did she go through some kind of contract change?
Did you want an Esri day?
No, but I
didn't do an Esri day for you.
Oh, well, thanks. I just feel like if Esri didn't get... Listen, every dog gets their day, even Esri.
She's not a dog.
She's not my style. That said, but like Keiko...
We are going to do Hoshi and Mayweather on the same day.
Yeah. That's wrong on so many fucking levels, dude.
Can you imagine trying to find your top and bottom three
Mayweather
moments?
Guys, those fucking killer pranks he's always pulling.
Oh my god, it would be impossible.
And that time we thought he was dead, but he wasn't. What a fucking magician. You know, when that happened on Earth, we called that man the Messiah. So I'm just saying.
Wow.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Holy shit.
Sorry. I didn't mean to. I killed Chris. How are we doing, buddy?
Chris has died. Oh, dear.
Chris, are you all right, though? Seriously?
I'm frightened.
I am, too. He is turning shades of red and making
double
sounds.
Up again. The timing.
Okay. Who is next week, by the way?
Next week, we're going to be looking at Nog.
Oh, God. Sweet Nog.
That will be a lovely day.
It's going to be awful.
Yeah.
It could be two things.
I know.
How awful it will be will depend upon how bad the Enterprise is beforehand.
Well, yeah, I mean, no matter what, it's going to be the better part of the episode. Because, you know.
So next week, we have Similitude.
Ooh.
And Carpenter Street.
Also, ooh.
So look forward to that.
Sniff some feet on Carpenter Street. I don't know. Why not?
Fair enough.
What do you want from me? I don't know. Get your kicks on Route 66.
Sure. I'm going to hit Baker Street.
But on Trip Harmonica.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't have it anymore. He traded it.
He gave it to that
for that boss.
He's got like a fucking crate of them.
No shit. They're not worth anything. Mostly that guy was like, what the fuck is this? It's probably made of plastic. He's like.
Anyway. As always, follow us on Facebook and your favorite podcasting application.
How are you going to try to close this out? Ames didn't even get to try a musical number. Do you have any musical numbers you want to insert here?
What? No.
I musical, then they musical
I don't
together.
Musical.
Okay, she's got nothing. Go ahead, Chris.
Rate us on your favorite podcasting application. Follow the Tumblr, sshbpodcast.com, where you can see all the bliggity blogs. I don't know why I did that.
Wickety Wild. Yeah. That's why.
There we go. It was perfect. Wild West reference. It was on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
Totally beautifully thought out.
North Star.
There we go. This has been Chris.
This has been Ames.
This has been Caitlin.
This is always Sheriff Jake.
Yeehaw.
Oh, no, you've been shot.
Oh, God. I'm in pain now.
Bring out my girls, said Big RuPaul Energy.
Oh, okay. I've been told that frequently.